Well, like a lot of great artists that run out of money. I mean, it has happened to Frank Zappa a lot. You get a great project going, and then you run out of money, and then. But I guess Violinless Fats experienced a resurgence of sorts.
Yeah, they came out with a DVD about 2 or 3 years ago.
Hey, I know you can get it at Clinton Street Video.
Really?
Yeah.
It says in these notes here, the Residents scripted Violinless Fats and began shooting this epic in 1972. It was intended to be the first feature-length music video. So they would have pioneered that. Story concerns a love triangle made up of an Indian princess who lives forever and a schizophrenic one-armed midget. 4 years later, the Residents had 14 hours of video shot, but had completed only about half the script. Technological advances in video then made their black and white footage look poor, and they knew that in the 5 or 6 years it would then take to complete it, a musical video revolution would take place, so they gave up. And then it says in 1984, 12 years after starting the project, the same technological advancement that killed the project brought it back to life. Through computer enhancement, enough footage was salvaged to construct the half-hour wonder, Whatever Happened to Violinless Fats. You can go up Belmont Street and get it at
Clinton Street.
Oh, Clinton Street. Okay, yeah. Go up on Clinton Street.
Clinton
and
Street Video.
We can't name a business name, but you can go up on Clinton Street to the video store.
It's a beautiful example of texture in art. In my opinion, it's just incredibly groovy.
I can't wait to see it.
Yep. Well, I'm in it.
Thanks, George. Well, we should watch it. We should go watch it later. And
on the right-hand side of the tag team giant.
Okay.
He's very recognizable.
Plus, I'm one-armed, but I wasn't a midget.
Okay.
But I was a model for the one-armed midget.
Siamese twin.
I guess that says something about me. A midget intellectual or something. I don't know.
We should tell folks that before the Fingerprints Shrunken album there, we heard some of an album that I had heard about for years, WB, the Warner Brothers album, the album that they apparently gave to Warner Brothers, was never released, and then it sort of vanished. But apparently it surfaced a few years ago. It was aired here on KBOO Radio by Bill Reinhart, who was our program director in the 70s. Cryptic Propensity Projections was the name of his radio show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Cryptic Propensity Projections. So he had played it, but I've looked through our archives, and I'm not through, but I still haven't found it. But we played it there on a CD.
Well, they just found Charlie Parker and John Coltrane and Thelonious Monk in, you know, some pretty obscure places. So keep looking.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The bird tapes keep showing up, and then Monk with Train. Yeah, keep looking. I'll keep digging back there. I just need more flashlights. But we heard Oh Mommy, Oh Daddy, thanks to you. And I was thrilled. This is great. So this is originally 1971.
Yeah.
Wow. I have queued up another track from that. But before that, we'll tell them we heard the complete Walter Westinghouse. But it was recorded live in Japan in 85 and started out with a couple of old favorites, Constantinople and Hello Skinny. We're listening to The Residents, folks, on The Outside World for another Friday night here on KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. We're 91.9 FM in Hood River in the Dalles in the Gorge, and we're at 100.7 FM down in Albany, Corvallis, and the Pie in the Sky Ranch, where all the radios are always on, KBOO. We're also at KBOO.FM. And we're sitting here with Zaya and George. And George, so the radio show you're doing at Jefferson Public Radio, when can we hear that? When can we log on to it?
I'm on 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Sundays. I do a thing called Jazz Sunday.
Okay. That's the thing you were doing a while ago in the other station, right? Weren't you? Because when I first met, when Zaya first told me about you, she said that was the time you were on.
I've been doing it since 98.
Okay. And you're playing jazz.
What's new?
New?
What's new in jazz?
Oh.
Not just jazz. It's what's, you know, anything that's coming out now.
That's exciting.
I play a couple of old tunes. I love Lewis and I love Bird. and Coltrane.
Yeah,
but
yeah. I like to know your roots to have the whole tree.
I like to play the new stuff. They like to, because we have another guy, Bob Parlocha, who does an evening show.
I know Bob Parlocha. I used to listen to Bob Parlocha on KBCA in Los Angeles.
Really? Okay, well, he does a lot of Coltrane and Miles and all that from the 50s and 60s. And he plays a little bit of new stuff, but I really emphasize the new stuff.
Was Parlocha ever on K Jazz?
Yeah, he did. He,
in Alameda?
Dinner Jazz. He did Dinner Jazz.
I know.
Sucky program.
I hated that. This Bob Parlocha with Dinner Jazz. He was playing all the stuff that gave jazz a bad name.
Turn it off right away, man. Yeah. That was 6
Dinner
o'clock.
Jazz.
Goodbye, K Jazz.
I know. You're right. But K Jazz was a pretty good station out of Alameda, and I remember KRE.
And Pat Henry came up here and had he was the manager of K Jazz, you know, for decades, and then he moved up here and had a radio show passed on up here.
This is only interesting if anybody out there is from the Bay Area. But KRE, man, there was an AM radio station that played jazz when I moved when my son was born. We moved to San Francisco, and I found it on the AM band.
Yeah,
KRE in Berkeley, and they were playing Cannonball Adderley.
And they had the rosary at 6 o'clock, didn't they?
That jam. I love the rosary.
And Red Blanchard. That was one of my favorites.
A brief word about your internet connection. You better call Senator Gordon Smith because apparently he's heading the key committee that will decide the future of internet freedom within this week. Senators will consider the issue in the context of a larger law governing our nation's communications policy. And, you know, we're talking about net neutrality. The current version of this bill guts net neutrality. So tell him to vote yes on net neutrality and vote no on Senator Ted Stevens' telecommunications bill. It doesn't include the Internet Freedom Preservation Act protecting net neutrality. Tell him to vote yes on net neutrality. Senator Gordon Smith's phone number is, ready? 202-224-3753. Net neutrality is a principle that prevents companies like AT&T and Verizon and Comcast from deciding which websites work best for you based on what sites pay them, what site pays them the most. So if the public doesn't speak up now, elected officials, of course, will probably cave in to this big lobbying campaign because that's the way things happen these days in Washington. You got a big lobby, then you've got a government for you. Locally, I can tell you that PCASC is moving by bicycle. If you've got a bike and you want to help PCASC move, they're going to move to Liberty Hall at 311 North Ivy. Tomorrow, so if you're up now, this is going to start at 9 a.m. It's a bike-moving parade, and it'll be featured in the Portland Tribune and photographed for the Portland Tribune. They also will take for stuff that was too heavy to bring over by bike. They'd like anybody who has a car or a truck. But the main thing is to bring, if you have them, gloves, feather dusters, brooms, and a water bottle, and there will be coffee at 10 a.m. at Liberty Hall. Show up with your best cleaning clothes on. There will be coffee, 10 a.m. 9:30 for they're gonna do the bike parade. Oh, starting at 9. I'm sorry, and then 9:30 they'll put everything in cars. That's right. So they'll have lots of bike trailers. They want to show everybody that you can actually move an entire office by bicycle, pretty much. PCAS, Portland Central Emeritus America Solidarity Committee, moving this weekend to 311 North Ivy. And then, if you can't be part of the move, they're going to have a barbecue when they get all moved in. Let's see, wait. The barbecue is July 1st at 3 p.m. They'll be all settled by then. Come to the Portland Central America Solidarity Committee's barbecue at 311 North Ivy. That's Liberty Hall. Someone's trying to get in. Who is that? You're listening to 90.7 FM KBOO Portland, and we're wandering through the world of the residents because George played with them, like, you know, when you were a little kid and you go out and play with someone.
That's right. I'd leave my wife and at her house and travel over to the residence and play music with them into the wee hours of the morning and then crawl back to the pad. And...
Was your wife supportive?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
She supported me quite well.
Yeah.
Thank you. And divorced me not too later.
Yeah, supported for a while, and then I meant, well, never mind.
Whatever you meant.
Yes, supported your artistic endeavors.
Yes.
What sort of stuff would you do besides get mummified?
You mean with the residents?
With the residents.
Oh, well.
Not with your wife.
Yeah, with, yes, I, well, okay.
Yeah, mummified, that was something else.
Well, you know, we did these productions where they would bring in people that they worked with and they would cast them into movies like Vileness Fats and get them to play and say these absurd roles and dress them up in costumes. And I mean, I wore like a half a body full of fiberglass and leotards and I had a hubcap, a wire-rimmed hubcap, you know, like... sports car for a belt buckle and a cap like I guess Jack Black wears in Nacho Grande or whatever his new movie is. And I was connected to another human being and they did some great stop time animation in Vileness Fats that didn't make it onto the DVD, and I don't know why they didn't put it on there, because it involved me and my Siamese twin busting up like a Safeway shopping cart. They made these spaceships out of shopping carts and then did stop time animation. It was unbelievable. They took a class from the guy who did King Kong. What was his name?
Ray Harryhausen?
Ray Harryhausen, yeah. Well, Ray Harryhausen evidently addressed the San Francisco Public Library.
Or Willis.
You know.
There's another one, Willis something.
Reed. Well, anyway, these great stop time animators, and the residents decided we could do that, and they would spend like all day Saturday doing, 30 seconds of stop time animation, in like 18 hours they'd do 30 seconds.
So where's that footage?
Yeah, it's not on that DVD that they put out 30 minutes of.
Are you in touch with these guys?
Well, not so much anymore, but like I told you, they got in touch with me a couple of years ago. So,
well, next time you talk to them.
Well,
find it. I want to see that.
I think I did bring it to their attention, but there must have been some technical difficulty. Like it wasn't complete enough, And they did make a reproduction of the Safeway shopping cart out of balsa wood, which is what we tore up because it was almost impossible to destroy a Safeway shopping cart.
Well, yeah, I always thought so.
Yeah, it still is. Yeah.
So that sounds a little safer. Sounds like you went to some dangers for art.
I think getting drunk was the worst part of it.
Yeah.
One time they...
Hard to be precise.
We did a nightclub scene and they put an actual fifth of Southern Comfort in front of me. And by the end of the evening shooting, it was gone. And then I passed out and exploded like a volcano of vomit.
Wow, and they probably filmed that or something.
No, they didn't film it, but their girlfriends helped clean it up because I was gone, out of it. that was the most dangerous part.
The things, it's interesting. I just was thinking about your daughter and some of the performance stuff I've seen her do with the Ice Cream Socialists. And so I see it kind of runs in the family. Doing avant...
Her and I have played birthday parties, too.
Really?
Yeah.
We had a clown act when I was a little girl.
And neither one of us could juggle. Can you imagine that? But we'd try.
It was mostly comedy. None of the real tricks.
Oh. I bet you were a hit.
Yeah,
and
we did
face painting.
This is for like 2 and 3-year-olds.
Oh, well, there you go. That's a good
us.
Audience.
We were a hit. And then we were actually in a play together when I was older, a real stage play. That was a lot of fun.
What was that?
It was a Christmas play called by, who was it by?
Gibson, the guy who did...
Okay, so it was called, are you ready? It's a long title. It was called The Butterfingers Angel, Mary and Joseph, Herod the Nut, which is my dad, and the Slaughter of 12 Hit Carols in a Pear Tree.
I think it's Edward Gibson.
My dad was Herod the Nut. King Herod. You know, I don't know if any of you are familiar with, you know.
And I can't remember any lines from that.
And I was a cow in the manger.
But you had lines.
I had lines.
Or a line.
And I think I still remember my lines.
What was it?
I think it's, these humans trying to create a god when a couple of years ago they were nothing but snot on the ocean.
That was your line?
Yeah.
Wow.
Something to that effect.
And it's still true today.
Delivering that line. How old were you?
I think I was 12. I must have been 12.
And you knew you were cut out for performance art.
Yeah. That wasn't even the first stage production I was in.
No.
I got my parents put me into a children's theater company when I was 7, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. We do that to our kids.
Well, I mean, after I really, begged them to.
Some really.
She was already writing plays.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was not a far stretch.
Folks, we were talking with Zaya. You might be familiar with Zaya. She's an ice cream socialist. And George. George Resident. George Ewart. And my name is Daniel. This is The Outside World. And here's a little bit more from the Warner Brothers album from 1971. rock and roll with the Residents. That's a fun record, George.
Thanks.
The Warner Brothers record from 1971. I'm really loving it. That was called Bop Bop, the Shoe Bop song. Shoe Bop Bop. And before that, Baby Skeletons and Dogs.
Yeah.
And started off with the Mad Sawmill of Copenhagen, Germany.
One of the first studios they had was a former dog haircut place, and there were all kinds of recordings of dogs that they incorporated into their music, you know.
That's
one of the reasons why Santa Dog had a dog part of it, besides the obvious double entendre.
What can you remember of Santa Dog just for right now?
Adenauer's golden flowers towered over us for years. Now we need a new excuse. Wiscusa knows the way. I can't. Sorry.
Yay!
I think I just did that at the beginning of this show here.
Wiscusa.
Wiscusa, Wiscusa.
George, it's been an honor to have you here. You can come here anytime, and we can play jazz records or whatever you want to do.
Well, next time I come up, I'll bring my collection of Resident stuff, which is very complete from the beginning of the first things they put out.
That makes me shiver.
Yeah.
Well, there's a doctor in Southern Oregon that probably should hitch a ride with you. His name's Jeff Houghton.
Yeah.
And Jeff Houghton is a Residents collector and has come all the way up to here to Portland to do Residents. He's done one Residents show with me. He also does the John Lennon show with us every October. We do a marathon, 9 hour.
Well, I don't think I'll be up for another year, but I'll be up, and I'll bring everything I can with me.
Well, we'll make it an event.
Cool.
Because we love the Residents, because they really were the granddaddies of weird.
Hey, they weren't weird. They were just great people, man.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, like I say, I had this collection of everything from the beginning.
I'm sorry. Those were the strangest records in my collection.
It was all given to me, man.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, we'll give you a pile of Santa Dog, and you give them to your relatives, you know, my nieces and nephews. And how many do you want? You know, and each one was signed and autographed and numbered.
I would love to someday find my Santa Dog single. I was very happy with that. And I got a couple of people to sign it for me that day that I dropped in to pick up a package.
Yeah.
And send it. On the DHL courier.
Was that a bike?
No, it was a van.
Okay.
I sent something to the airport, the Residents. Well, so Fred Frith hung out with the Residents.
Well, you know, they produced him.
Yeah. You know, because Kick the Can and those first couple of records that Fred Frith did were on Ralph. And the Ralph tours were really exciting. Here in Portland in the 80s, we had a club called Louis La Bamba Club. Was down on 2nd Avenue in what is now the New Market building. I think it's a food stamp office now. Right? And that was where Louis La Bamba Club was. And that was the first place I ever saw the Residents. And they had a Ralph tour. And they did stuff with film. And I just thought that was so cool. And we saw Snake Finger, MX-80 Sound, and Tuxedo Moon.
Yep. They produced them all.
Yeah.
All those guys got those records too.
Yeah, that's cool. Those films were pretty amazing. I remember those movies. They were Trey Strange.
Like I say, texture is everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Snake Finger actually was on KBOO's air in 1980. He came to town, and I went to go pick him up for the interview. This is 1980, and I'm all like... So... Went over to the Travel Lodge across the street from here. KBOO wasn't here, though. But right across the street, and I found his motel room and knocked on the door, and I looked, and Eric Drew Feldman was sitting on the bed watching a soap opera. And I was like, Eric Drew Feldman's here from Captain Beefheart's band. And we brought Snake and Eric Drew Feldman down to the KBOO studio, which was at 65 Southwest Yam Hill above Patty's Bar. We had the whole floor, one floor up. And the kid that was supposed to interview Snake Finger wasn't doing a very good job, and we were all kind of sitting around looking at each other. Finally, we stopped the tape, and I said, I got an idea. Snake, why don't you interview yourself? So he did. He asked himself really challenging questions, and then he would answer them. like really tough questions. There's another thing I got to dig out of the archive.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, Snake Fingers no longer with us.
Yes, that's true.
In fact, I think he died in 82, not too long after he was here.
That's right. Snake Finger, great British guitar player. Amazing.
Trumpet player, violin player, multi-talented musician.
Yeah.
Very, very good. One time I forgot my lines in a, as usual, you know, in action, and Snake Finger comes up with a little laughing trumpet, you know. It was so bad that I just turned red and played the bass.
Well, gosh, do you have more resonant story? I don't want to cut you off here.
We'll save some for later.
Okay.
Tell you more about them later.
You bring up your stash, and, you know, as for that matter, you can hang around tonight. I got some coffee
No.
We got the library.
I've been up since 10 o'clock this morning, man. I'm getting wired. I'm out of it.
Yeah, me too.
And we have a family reunion tomorrow.
Really?
I got to pick my sister up at the airport at 5:30.
Well, let's hear one more track that's got Fred Frith playing guitar.
Yeah.
This is Dumbo the Clown. And because I love the Warner Brothers thing, we might follow this up with one more from the Warner Brothers album. But thanks again for coming to KBOO.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You want to tell them who's coming on after this?
After what?
After me and Zeta.
Brian Cutia?
Yeah, right.
I didn't know either.
I didn't know I was.
I should say Brino is here and Devin's here, and we're all part of this crazy experiment.
You guys are the main part of the show.
Oh, well, we got to go home and go to bed.
That must be what happened. That's why they're not leaving. We had too much focus on them. Oh, hey, Dow Soup has been extended to July 1st. We want to tell everybody, if you haven't made it to the Brooklyn Bay Theater, which is really easy to get to if you're walking. If you're walking from 21st and Powell, just go west on Powell, as like you're going downtown, on the south side of the street, and when Powell starts to dip under the freight tracks, you'll see it right there on the left, Bay K, Brooklyn Bay, and you will see Dow Soup, the amazing Kelman Works in action, Scott Kelman and his Drunken Monkeys of Brooklyn Bay. These actors include Holcomb Waller, although I don't know if Holcomb Waller will be in the Saturday night thing, because Holcomb is playing at the Mississippi Studios Saturday night in a 10 p.m. show. So maybe he's going to try and figure out that. Holcomb, if you're listening, grab your guitar and come down here. Anyway, it's a great thing. It happens every Friday and Saturday night at 8 p.m. Try and get there between 7:30 and 8 and experience a little bit of the Dow and theater and comedy and just sort of being here now. It's a beautiful experience called Dow Soup. And There's a public service announcement from KBOO. Dumbo, come in, Dumbo.
On the other side, for me it will always be Christmas morning. I'm always tingling at that English pie. Give everyone great presents and open everything real slow, so they would always last longer, but there would always be more. The other side has endless presents. Remember me, remember me.
Yeah. Thank you. black magic of Barney Haller, or there's an owl in my room.
What? El Bos Mafres, Griniff is a Robin is a Gilda.
Okay, we put that in reverse and then we'll try it again.
It was one of those hot days, which the earth is uninhabitable, even as early as 10 o'clock in the morning, even on the hill where I live under the dark maples. The long porch was hot, and the wicker chair I sat in complained hotly. My coffee was beginning to wear off, and with it the momentary illusion it gives that things are right and life is good. There were sultry mutterings of thunder. I had a quick feeling that if I looked up from my book, I would see Barney Haller.